let's look at chapter 18, the first three verses. We see in these verses that Jesus is condemning worldliness. And what he says is, in verses 1 through 3, especially in verse 2 of chapter 18 of Revelation, the angel cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon is fallen, it's fallen, and it's the dwelling place of demons and foul spirits. The first lesson of this chapter is that worldly possessions cannot buy spiritual life. They buy spiritual death. And what we see in these three verses, with the verse 3, the drunkenness of the nations, their fornication, living for everything God will not give them, is that Jesus condemns worldly possessions as a means of buying spiritual life. I can see in these three verses the rich and powerful families of the world, from the Rockefellers to the Rothschilds, from the Gettys to the Gates, as they stand and they watch their billions go up in smoke, the smoke of the wrath of God. And I can hear Matthew chapter 16. Why don't you turn back to Matthew 16 for just a moment? It should be a well-worn verse in your Bible. Matthew 16, 26. Because Jesus commented on all these things in Revelation in his earthly ministry. And it says in Matthew 16 and verse 26, what I believe the loud voice will be booming throughout the earth at this global collapse. It says in Matthew 16, 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? Though you possess all the paintings or all the money or all the stock or all the, finally you've gotten the comfortable life you want, and loses his own soul, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what the 18th chapter is about. You can have it all on earth and miss it all in heaven. What a sobering warning. Back to chapter 18. First point, worldly possessions can't buy spiritual life. That's what James said in James 5. But secondly, look at verse 4. Jesus is not only condemning worldliness, but I love this. He says, I want and I call for the saints to come out of worldliness. Another voice from heaven, verse 4, says, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. You know what this is? This is a repetition of the continually repeated call of God. He wants his saints to live out their high calling. We are called to be holy in all parts of our lives. We are to separate from and get out of Babylon. That's what he calls us to. In fact, seven times in the Word of God, the Scriptures tell us, come out, come out. You say, wait a minute. This is a tribulation. Chapter 18, the end of the world. What is this? Well, there are going to be Christians on the planet. There will always be Christians on this planet. Because we have the two witnesses we saw in chapter 11. We have the 144,000. They were in chapter 7 and chapter 14. We have the angel preaching the everlasting gospel in chapter 14. So we have the gospel going out. We have people responding the whole way through. And so God, from the Old Testament, since the Garden of Eden, through the church age to today and all the way to the end of time, to all peoples of all times, he says, get away from the worship of this world. Don't lay up your treasures here. Don't stack your treasures so that you, when you leave home, are afraid something may happen to them. Don't have so much stuff that if you don't have the burglar alarm on, you can't sleep. And you'd have to cut short your vacation because you've got to go back and protect the stuff. The care of riches is covetousness. It's idolatry. And the Lord says it's better given to me. God called Abraham out of the world to follow his way in Genesis 12. God called Lot to totally abandon the sinfulness of Sodom and follow him in Genesis 19. God called Moses to stay out of the very presence of the rebels so that he could come in the presence of the Lord in Numbers 16. God promised great blessings in Psalm 1 to those who, living in an ungodly world, avoided the wisdom of the ungodly people around them. John 17, Jesus prayed that we would realize this world is not our home. 2 Corinthians 6, God expects his children to come out and stay out of worldliness. 1 Timothy 5, God calls us to be careful not to associate with sin. Look at verse 9. This is why Jesus condemned worldliness and calls us to come out. It's because starting in verse 9 of Revelation 18, and we'll just stay there the rest of the time, Starting in verse 9, Jesus describes how worthless worldliness is, how worthless the possessions of this world are, how worthless coveting for and worshiping this world is. And this is what he says. Worldly possessions will not last forever. Look at verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication, that means that they knit their lives to the things of this world, and they live luxuriously with this materialistic worldly system. Look at this. They will weep and lament when they see the smoke of her burnings. You know what that means? Real simple. Worldly possessions won't last forever. I mean, everything you see around you is going to be destroyed. Everything. And so if everything's going to be destroyed, Peter said, what should we do? We should live in godliness. Look at verse 10. Not only will worldly possessions not last forever, they can't meet our deepest needs. Look what happens in these verses. It says that they're weeping and mourning in verse 11. Why? Because they're possessions of security. That's the first part of the list. By the way, there are 28 items in 8 categories that are listed. And the security stuff, that's the gold and silver and precious stones. That's gone. The external beauty, that's all the things to make fine clothing and fashion and decorating. The woods for exquisite furnishings. The personal luxury goods, the oils and ointments and fragrances and spices for exotic cuisine. And all the indulgence stuff, wine and distilled spirits and all that stuff. All of these items that are listed in these verses are going to be gone. Look at verse 15. I love this. Worldly possessions can blind our soul to eternal concerns. That's the problem. Listen to the depth of these verses. The merchants of these things who became rich by this whole worldly system stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Verse 17. Such great riches came to nothing. Verse 18, they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning. Verse 19, they threw dust on their heads. They cried out, they wept, they wailed. Now, you know what those words are? Weeping is the sound of the uncontrollable sobbing of someone that has lost something that is irreplaceable. I have heard it often in hospital rooms where people that either aren't Christians or aren't very deep in the Lord just go into this panic when someone they love dies. And they'll just tug on them and they'll jump. I've seen them jump on top of the beds of someone and they'll just say, no, you can't die. And they just uncontrollably wail and scream. And of course, the hospital has people that come and comfort them. That's the scene of what's going on in this chapter. It's the uncontrollable weeping, sobbing, lamenting because they lost their stuff. Do you know what the horror of this is? They're uncontrollably lamenting the loss of stuff that doesn't matter, just material things. And they don't realize that they've already lost their souls. And that's the problem with material things. Worldly possessions blind the soul to eternal concerns. And they failed to even notice that the greatest loss was their own soul. All they lived for was the soul.